Amen. Hey, how many guys have ever been so bored, John, that you not only built this wishing well to offset the cost for your new paint job in your house? I know, it's okay. Okay. But you just invented stuff to do just to alleviate your boredom, right? Anybody? Anybody besides me and my sister Heather, who grew up in Kansas in the middle of nowhere? She's here today, by the way. Okay. And my brother-in-law, Pat. So, but yeah, we grew up literally in the middle of nowhere. In fact, when we first moved from California to Kansas the first time, my family and I of six moved to this town called Lovewell, and the town swelled to 25. But that was too big city living for my dad, because that only lasted for a year. I don't know if it was the traffic there or what, but we moved even further out in the middle of nowhere, and we had nothing to do. In fact, our big, I kid you not, and man, I'm getting distracted. We got a long ways to go. But we, what we did during the summer, we had nothing to do. There's no neighbors, no nothing, gravel road out in the middle of nowhere. We used to ride bikes over each other. We were human speed bumps. Right? And we had fun with that. That's what we did growing up. Until my older sister, Terry, going over my sister, Heather, had the pedal with the grates on it down and across her back. And it ruined our joy. Right? But my point is, have you ever been so, growing up, you just come up with stuff to do? Well, I kid you not, these guys are genius. Wait till you see what these guys did, apparently, to alleviate their boredom one day. It's really punny. Let's take a look.
Yo, how do you like them apples?
What are you saying, yo? I was checking out that fork, eh? Isn't that the song that Sam sung?
Hello?
Panasonic? Panasonic.
Yo, look, it's Adele.
Yo, you see my little brother?
Huh?
Yo, where's my little brother? Oh, there you are. Don't scare me like that.
Well, we can go right now. We go. So much attitude, this guy. He's got a chip on his shoulder.
H-I-J-K-L-O-M-N-H-P.
That was a head-on collision.
You know, how long have you been there?
You only got one shot, do not miss your chance to glow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime, yo, yo.
Hey, yo, John, can I shave your beard? Would you let me? How do you calculate 35% off? I'll call Tommy, he'll figure it out.
Hey, yo, check me out. It's like I'm on a carousel.
This guy's staring right into my eyes like, I can see your soul. If I was stranded in the ocean, I'd be like, I'm lost in the Pacific, help!
Man, that's a lot of fish. That's like over a million.
Genius! Is that genius or what? Oh, wish I had the ability to do that when I was growing up. But folks, was that the punniest thing you ever saw? Yeah, okay. But seriously, folks, believe it or not, did you know there's a coming a time to our whole planet when I don't care how creative you get, I don't care how bored you get, you will not be able to punt it away. There's nothing humorous about it at all. And can you guess what time frame that is? It's the 7-year tribulation, folks, and it's not a joke. There's no humor at all. Jesus said that in Matthew 24, it's a time of greater horror than anything this world will ever see or will ever see again, and that unless God shortened that time frame, i.e. kept it to just 7 years, the entire human race will be destroyed. There is nothing punny about that at all. It's serious business. And that's why we've been studying our study, The Final Countdown, Tribulation Rising. Signs that the 7-year tribulation is getting close. We don't know the day nor the hour of the rapture, but boy, the 7-year tribulation, we leave prior. So if you see that it's getting close to 7-year tribulation, it's time for rapture practice, okay, is the point for you and I. Now, we've already seen signs is getting close. The first of the three signs, as you can see there, the Jewish people and the Antichrist. A 20-week study dealing with the Middle East and the Jewish people. He's not done with them, and they are a huge mega sign that it's basically God's megaphone. Pay attention to the Jewish people. You're living in the last days, okay? Then we saw a 16-week study on modern technology. All the things that we take for granted, we're used to, customized with, we don't even think about, actually, in the scripture, has all kinds of signs we're living in the last days, which has led to the last 18 times a new technology called the AI invasion. Okay, and what we've been seeing is a prophecy from Daniel 2,600 years ago said, here's a clear-cut sign you're living in the last days. When you see an increase of knowledge, and when you see that increase or explosion of knowledge, it's going to lead, Daniel said, to the end of time. Now, as crazy as that is, 2,600-year-old prophecy, we're not just living that, but even the secularists admit that's exactly what's going on. Only they don't call it end of times, they call it singularity, which their definition is that's when artificial intelligence or AI, machines and robots, literally take over the planet and destroy humanity, right? Okay, and what we said, well, how in the world did we get into this shape? How is this happening in our lifetime on such an exponential scale? Well, we saw there's a race for AI. Corporations, we haven't got to it yet, militaries, all kinds of moguls around the world are seeing who could build the biggest, baddest AI to literally rule the planet. As crazy as that sounds, that's what's going on. So they're not stopping it, okay? And then we saw the definition of AI, the types of AI, the history of AI, the big data of AI, the makers of AI, and then the last 15 times, just like God warned, it's going to lead to the end of times, or as the singular is called, the end of humanity. And we've been seeing that it's the future. The future of AI, folks, is it literally is, it's the new electricity going in behind the scenes, taking control of everything on a global basis. We saw it's taking control of the businesses, the finances, the convenience, the agriculture, communication, education. And then, of course, we saw the last three times was the area of medical. The medical system on the planet is slowly but surely, systematically being taken over by AI to micromanage everybody's medical care. And I am convinced that that's exactly what's going to give the Antichrist much of the leverage he needs to literally dictate the behavior of people, and that if you don't do what he says to do, Revelation 13, he's going to take you out because he controls the medical care. Okay, and we saw that so far with AI replacing doctors and surgeries and AI-assisted surgeries, robot surgeries, AI predicting diseases, and AI replacing the administration, whether or not you can even get in medical care or not. And then last time we saw with AI controlling your diet and even your drugs. Okay, and that's a huge thing because, again, as we saw with the calamities in the seven-year tribulation, one of the things that's going to happen is food. You're going to need food. There's famines. Well, guess what? If you control the food supply, and then you can micromanage people's diets down to the microchip level, which is what they're wanting to do, okay, then guess what? You got leverage over people. You hungry? Oh, you bow knee first. You work, and then we'll unlock the food supply for you, okay? Or the drugs. We saw that the seven-year tribulation is full of calamities. The sealed judgments, the trumpet judgments, the bowl judgments, the worst time in the history of mankind. Guess what? There will be some survivors. Guess what they're going to need after each one of those judgments? Medical care. Right? And last time I checked, it's a good thing to have drugs just before you have surgery. How many guys love it when you go in for surgery and you get nothing and you just sit there and go, ooh? Most people don't. Okay? Okay? Most normal people don't. Okay? But anyway, so guess what? But if you control the drug supply, not only treatment of pestilences and diseases that'll be rampant in the seven-year tribulation, okay, but also surgery or post-surgery when you need to recoup and recover and all that stuff. If you control the drug supply, boy, I tell you what, you got some serious leverage. Now, folks, what it's all leading to is where we left off last time. Believe it or not, I think it's all for an end game. And the end game is, believe it or not, AI will control your death. AI will be the one to control how long you get to live and whether or not you are a threat to society and need to not live anymore. Okay, and that system is being built on a massive basis. Now, you think about that, it's crazy because you're talking about a lot of people on the planet dying and being controlled on a massive scale in the seven-year tribulation. But again, if you read the scripture, that's not surprising because the Antichrist and the false prophet are the most murderous entities that have ever arisen on the planet outside of Satan. They're inspired by Satan. And they are going to murder people on a scale with glee, like you can't even believe. And I believe it's not just on a global basis, but they're going to micromanage that murderous behavior with AI. But as always, don't take my word for it. Let's begin that journey. Open your Bibles to Revelation 6. Revelation 6. Let's take a look at how do we know what the Antichrist is going to do? Is he really going to be the biggest murderer this planet has ever seen? Absolutely. Revelation 6, 9 through 11. We're in the first half of the seven-year tribulation in the sealed judgments. And you're going to see how he treats people who don't do what he says to do, okay? And it's not good, okay? And again, the people we're talking about here is the tribulation saints. These are the people who get saved after the seven-year tribulation starts, after the rapture. The church is gone. People can still get saved in the seven-year tribulation. The Bible's very clear about that. You have the 144,000 male Jewish witnesses that are out there. You also have the two witnesses that are declaring God's truth as well. And you also have the eternal gospel being shared by the angel, the Bible even talks about. So the gospel's still going forward. It's unfortunate. You should have gotten saved now and avoid the whole thing. Okay, but now you're going to be treated like this. It's not good. Okay, and how many times do you hear people say, well, when you guys disappear at the rapture, that's when I'll get saved. Are you kidding me? You won't get saved now when it's relatively easy to be a Christian, but you're going to get saved when this happens and literally your head's on the chopping block? You need to get saved now. But here it is, Revelation 6, 9 through 11. Let's take a look here. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been what? Slain. Wait till we get to that word. Because of the what? The word of God and the testimony they had maintained. And they called out in a loud voice, how long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood? Bloody, murderous scene that's going on here. Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and brothers were to be killed as they had been. It was completed. Okay, you may be seated, okay? But this is just the beginning of the murderous behavior that you're going to see in the seven-year tribulation. And you're talking about people who turn to God in that time frame. And it isn't just the Gentile, i.e. anybody who's not the Jew. As we saw before, he's also going to murder and go after the Jewish people. And of course, we see that in the one passage, Zechariah 13:8 says, in the whole land declares the Lord two-thirds. How many? Two-thirds. The context is the Jewish people will be struck down and perish, yet one-third will be left in it. The one-third is sovereignly protected by the archangel Michael, Revelation chapter 12. But two-thirds of the Jewish people, folks, another Jewish Holocaust is coming to the planet, unfortunately, in the seven-year tribulation. And of course, it's going to be led by the Antichrist. But we also saw before, Jesus said, anybody, it's a global persecution, a global murder. Anybody who turns to God in that time frame, you're going to be killed, right? And we saw this, Matthew 24:9. Then Jesus speaking, then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and what? Put to death. And you'll be hated by who? All nations because of me. Okay? And this is what we see here. Revelation 6, you see Matthew 24, you see Zechariah, you put it all together. The Antichrist and the false prophet are the biggest murders this planet has ever seen. They're going to murder people on a scale you can't believe. And it's very graphic. In fact, let's go back to Revelation 6 there. It says there the word slain, right? Let me define that for you. It's the Greek word, okay, sphazo. Let's say that. Svazo. That sounds like that Italian ice cream you get here in Vegas, isn't it? No, I know that's spumoni or whatever that is. No, but svazo, listen to this, what it really means. This really gets your attention. It means not just to slay. Oh, I got slain. Right? It means to slaughter, to butcher, to not just put to death, but to be put to death by violence. This is not a normal way of killing people. Right? In fact, it's a bloody butchering of people, a massive violent slaughter, putting people to death with violent glee. They're excited about it. Yeah! As they literally butcher people to death in the seven-year tribulation. That's what that word means. And again, this shouldn't be a surprise because let me give you just one more text of why these guys are the biggest murderers this planet has ever seen. Jesus said in John chapter 8, we've seen this before, the book of Revelation 13 says that the false prophet and the Antichrist, the beast, are inspired by who? Satan, the dragon, defined in the text as Satan. And Jesus gives us a couple characteristics of Satan. Okay, John chapter 8, you belong to your father, the who? The devil. And you want to carry out your father's desire, i.e. the devil's desire. He's a what? He's a what? A murderer. And he's been one from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he's a liar and the father of all lies. So again, it's not a shocker that these guys are the biggest, not just liars, not just deceivers this planet has ever seen. And that's what the Antichrist is going to do. He starts a seven-year tribulation with making Daniel 9:27 a covenant with the people of Israel, deceiving the world, thinking he's the Mr. Fix-It guy. He's the political figure that is going to usher in peace and utopia under his reign. Deceit, deceit, you liar, you're just like Satan. It's all deceiving people. What's the end game? Because then, after he deceives the world, he's going to start murdering people like you can't even believe. All throughout the scripture, folks, we see that certainly in the prophetic text. Now, here's my whole point in explaining that. The mindset, dare I say, even the political mindset, because who is the Antichrist? He's not just a figure. He's not just a guy. He's a what? He's a political world figure, right? On the world scene that appears at that time. But this mindset, to get us to go along with a political figure's massive murder on a massive global scale, the foundation for that's being laid, and dare I say, I think it's with AI. And so how is he going to take out so many people so fast? Specifically people that don't do, don't think, don't act, don't worship the way he wants them to. I'm telling you, it's AI, it's a step-by-step, okay? And the first way, they're going to use AI to determine your, quote, mental health. Now, that's a dangerous term today. And the reason why is because who gets to determine what is proper or improper, healthy or unhealthy mental health? Same thing with like a terrorist. Oh, those guys are fundamental terrorists. Well, who gets to define that, right? And if you've been watching the propaganda, you and I, as evangelical Christians, are being called fundamental terrorists, religious terrorists, just like those Muslim extremists. So who gets to define that? That's the danger of this so-called mental health. Now, what's happening right now in the media? Believe it or not, folks, they're using AI right now to determine people's mental threat status to society, and you will be punished, and I think it's going to be used as an excuse to take you out eventually in society. Now, you think that's crazy? What just happened in the news? AOC and the Democrat Party are now threatening what? Anybody who voted for Trump, anybody who's basically a conservative, anybody who doesn't go along with their political agenda is what? You're a mental threat, and we will punish you. Well, how are they going to know? Wait till you see what they're doing with AI. And they're going to determine your mental status, and if you're not a safe person based on how you're mentally thinking, if it doesn't line up to their standards, who makes the rules, they're going to take you out. It's happening right now. Now, what they basically done, the first step to monitor everybody's mental health on the basis, is they've taken this psychiatry industry that they use as, well, the psychiatrist says that if you eat chicken, you got a psychosis, right? I wish that was in their books, and who knows. But have you noticed they come up with all kinds of things? These psychiatrists. The psychiatrists that we've done with other studies, the track record is these guys have worse lives than their patients. So how do they become the experts? But they come up with everything's a psychosis. You're too cold. You got a mental health disease, right? If you know, you're scared to take out, you got a scared. Everything's a mental health disease nowadays, right? And it's coming from these psychiatrists. But you say, well, that's fine. I'm never going to step foot in one of those guys' office, so they can't do their little, oh, you're mentally unhealthy, you're mentally unhealthy. They've now taken that whole industry, and they've reduced it down to an AI app. And they're encouraging people to download, it's called a digital psychiatrist, listen, that will be there for you. And will literally monitor your mental health 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Here's just one version of them that's already out there. And notice who they're being pitched to. I'll get to that in a second. Watch this.
The next time you feel anxious, down, or maybe just need to talk, a Stanford researcher hopes that you'll reach for your phone.
ABC 7 News anchor Natasha Zuves has the story of how a Bay Area app is now reaching people all over the world.
I had this grandiose vision of like my freshman year.
We've all heard the saying, college is supposed to be the best 4 years of your life. For Shishi Fang, though, freshman year was a quick lesson in how you can feel completely alone in a sea of 41,000 students. She says she fell into a deep depression.
I don't know, like, I'm just a failure.
One day, scrolling through social media, she saw information about Wobot, an artificially intelligent chatbot. She decided to give the free app a try.
I just really needed someone to talk to that was like on demand and replies in an instant.
And that's exactly what Wobot provides. The little yellow robot is part cheerleader, part friend, and well-versed in cognitive behavioral therapy. As you type into it, it creates an emotional model of you over time, helping to change your thinking.
Dr. Allison Darcy, the CEO and founder of Wobot Lab, says she just wanted to improve access.
About two-thirds of people who have mental health problems will actually not see a clinician.
She was floored by the results.
In his first day of being launched, Wobot had conversations with more people than any clinician could see in a lifetime.
Dr. Darcy says Wobot is now far from home, active in Africa, the Middle East, and South Asia. In fact, he now receives 2 million conversations a week. And the data shows he gets results. A recent randomized Stanford study revealed people who use him had significant decreases in the symptoms of depression in 2 weeks and were likely to return to chat with him every day. Shishi says it's worked for her. She's found a group of friends.
They're just as nerdy as I am.
But still has the virtual friend who never gets too busy to check on her every day.
The virtual friend who what? Checks on her how often? Every day. And notice whom this is being pitched to, with all due respect. To use the political term, the snowflake generation. Right? let's just deal with it, okay? The same ones that universities are cranking out by the boatload that are so weak-minded, they can't handle any conflict, any differing opinions, and they need a dog or a stuffed animal to hug to cope, right? That's who these people are being pitched to. I don't think that's by chance, because they are purposely creating a market for these AI digital therapists, people who are so weak they just can't handle anything, and they need somebody to tell them mentally how to behave and think and... I think it's a setup, okay? Now, let's tear that apart, okay? First of all, what'd they say? This thing's for free. Last time I checked, this stuff costs money. Somebody had to build this. Somebody's got to maintain it. Why in the world are you out there putting these things out there for free? Well, then there's no excuse for everybody to have access to be mentally monitored all the time. Okay, is number one. Okay, and that's the second thing. It was what? It's what? It will do just that. It will monitor you at all times, anywhere around the globe, 24 hours a day, on demand, 7 days a week. And she even admitted it's designed to what? Not just help you, not just get rid of depression, to, quote, change your thinking. You know, in case you support Trump, or you're a conservative, or you're not going along with their liberal ideals, or you say, I ain't going to worship no Antichrist figure, you can't tell me what to do. Now, and that's not it. Third, they also admit that when you are having some mental problems, listen to what they're going to do. They're going to take you and get you connected with a therapist. What if you didn't want to? But now it's all on record. And now it's out there that you got mental health problems and you refuse to submit to the therapy session. This is nuts, folks. This is the stuff that's going on. And you think, well, okay, that's it then. That's it. I'm not going to go into a secular psychiatrist's office so they can't tell me that I got some mental disease just because I'm a conservative or a Christian, that they want to say, you're a religious terrorist, you're a danger. And again, the point is what? You need to get out of society. We're going to take you out. We may even take you out because you're a threat. Okay, then I'm not even going to download this Wobot thing. I mean, after all, he looks like Wally. He's a cute guy. He's there. And there's a ton of these. That's just one example. You know, okay, I'm not going to step foot in the psychiatrist's office. I'm not going to download the app. Listen, this blew me away. I didn't know this. They're already they're monitoring your mental health in a variety of ways already. It's already being done. Let me just share with you some the headlines, folks. They're right now checking out your, quote, mental state on social media. Okay? It's exactly what's going on. Quote, AI can predict mental health issues from your Instagram posts. I didn't know it was doing that. Did you know it was doing that? So based on what you post, it's putting you in a category. Is that a mentally healthy state of what you're saying? It's already being done. What a big setup. And that's not all. They're also doing it with your phone. And everybody's got to have one of those, right? Will Apple track your mind, not just your heart? And see, that's another thing we saw before we got in conditioned to, right? We're letting, just by carrying that phone, it knows how many steps you take. It knows your heartbeat and all that stuff and your walking gait and all this stuff and calories and this, all right? We got used to that. But guess what? They're using the same device to monitor your mental status. Now watch this. And I quote, Apple's new iPhone features uses, guess what? Facial recognition software. See, you thought it was just to allow it to, you know, the new facial recognition to unlock your phone so you don't have to remember that password. Oh, no, no. Right? Quote, if your heart throbs, these phones, iPhones, can track that pitter-patter through continuous heart readings. Or, direct quote, on the other hand, if you're depressed, your iPhone's face ID might be able to discover your dismay, quote, and connect you to a therapist. Just by having a phone. Did you know that? Right? If you become mentally unstable, and again, who gets to define that? This is crazy. Oh, and it gets even worse. They also are monitoring our voices. Now, that can happen with your phone. That could also happen, because we saw before, they can tap in any time with your phone and listen to you. It's the biggest Big Brother invention ever in the history of mankind, as well as video. But also with your home devices, like Alexa and those other ones. We've already proven where they're listening to your conversations. And they admit, can artificial intelligence detect depression in a person's voice? And, of course, they say, absolutely. So whether or not you download that app or set a foot into a psychiatrist's office, and unfortunately they deem you and your thought life as being mentally unstable, a threat to society, it's already being done. Crazy. I didn't even know that until I did the research. Oh, and by the way, shocker, they want this to go global. And I quote, facing mental health issues is one of the most difficult tasks in life. And the worsening global statistics about mental health disorders, we truly welcome any and every innovation and technology that will help bring down the prevalence of depression, suicide, or quote, any other mental trouble. Well, who gets to define that? They want this to go around the globe, okay? And so, again, you're thinking, well, okay, come on. I get it. They're already out there in the media, and they're saying that if you supported Trump, we're coming to get you because we don't like your mindset that's mentally unstable. But come on. They're not going to, like, say that we Christians are terrorists or something. What did Revelation 6 say? Now, that's not the church. It's the tribulation saints. But why were they slain? Why were they spied so? Because they held true to what? God's word. And his testimony. They'll get saved there. But because they refused to budge on that, they became the new terrorists and they were hunted down and butchered like animals by the Antichrist. I'm telling you folks, that mindset is being laid right now. Because whether you realize it or not, not just being a conservative or a Trump supporter is now a mental state that's dangerous to society that needs to be gotten rid of. Listen, there's a new mental health crime out there. You know what it is? It's called sharing the gospel. Right? Here's the headline. France criminalizes mental manipulation is what they're calling it, okay? And you say, well, what's mental manipulation? Well, let me define it for you. And this is in the article. Mental manipulation is defined as exercising within a group activities that are aimed at creating or exploiting psychological dependence, heavy and repeated pressure on a person, or using techniques likely to alter their judgment so as to induce them and behave in a harmful to their interest. Can I translate that for you? You just shared the gospel with somebody and tried to change their mind about Jesus. That's a mental manipulation crime now. And it is a crime because they go on to say it's not just a new crime. It's, quote, punishable of a fine of $75,000 or up to 5 years in prison for sharing the gospel. It's now become a crime because that's a person who's mentally unstable. Who are you to say that your way is the only way? I didn't say it. Jesus did. John 14:6. I'm just quoting Jesus. You're going to say he's mentally unstable? I'll stand over here while the lightning bolt gets you. And you'll find out sooner or later if you're in the 7-year tribulation when he comes back at the end. And I hope you don't wait that long. But again, sharing the gospel is what we're talking about. So now here's my whole point. AI is monitoring, listen, whether we realize or not, whether we submit to any arena, it's already going on. AI right now is monitoring on a global basis everybody's conversations, everybody's facial gestures. Oh, by the way, social media, how many faces do we keep giving them to look at? You look depressed. You look like you're a Trump supporter. You look like you're a Christian sharing the gospel. That's a mental manipulation. But right now, with your conversations, facial gestures, words, deeds, phone apps, you name it, okay, it's already going on. And I believe they're already starting to now lay the groundwork to be proactive. Now, what do you do with these mentally unstable people? Because you can't have these people in society. They're a detriment to society. Well, I think ultimately it's going to lead to, we're just going to knock them off, as blunt as that is. And I think you're going to see that in the 7-year tribulation on a massive scale. But also, believe it or not, there are some saying that what we need to do to these religious terrorists is we need to give them a vaccine. And in that vaccine, we'll remove any thoughts of God. Crazy? Watch this meeting.
Excuse me. On the left over here, we have individuals who are religious fundamentalists, religious fanatics. And this is the expression, RT-PCR, real-time PCR, expression of the VMAT2 gene. Over here, we have individuals. So let me complete. So over here, we have individuals who are not particularly fundamentalist, not particularly religious, and you can see there's a much reduced expression of this particular gene, the VMAT2 gene. Another evidence that supports our hypothesis for the development of this approach.
What you're suggesting here is by spreading this virus, we're going to eliminate individuals from donning on a bomb vest and going into a market and blowing up the market.
So our hypothesis is that these are fanatical people, that they have overexpression of the VMAT2 gene, and that by vaccinating them against this, we'll eliminate this behavior.
What? So now it's just a mental disease, an overexpression of your gene, which is basically your belief, But they've deemed that belief as a religious terrorist. And it's not your fault. It's just your genes. But we're going to vaccinate that part of your brain so it won't function anymore, so you won't ever think that way. Now, not to freak out too much, but this headline says this. They killed God. I can't feel God anymore. My soul is dead after the vaccine. What vaccine are they talking about? One of the COVID-19 vaccines. And it says this. After a second vaccine test volunteer, quote, developed neurological problems as a side effect. Oh, by the way, what are they saying right now in the news? Okay, it's not only coming out, but guess what? Be prepared for the... They're being very proactive with this. Side effects. It says a second volunteer suddenly started saying, quote, they've killed God. I can't feel God anymore. My soul is dead. That's just like that video that's been out for several years. And then, I don't know. Now listen, not to freak you out too much. And some people say, oh no, there's no way this stuff's true. That's just, no, you can't. Maybe not. But based on what we're seeing with people's behavior today, would you put it past them? I don't think so. Now it's going to lead to the other way. So if you got a mental health disease, it's going to lead to getting rid of you in society. That's the murderous behavior I believe the Antichrist is going to display. Because if you don't worship him, that's a mental health crime. If you maintain the word of God in the seven-year tribulation, that's a mental... And they'll knock you out. They'll take care of you. They'll slaughter you. Now, another step that they're getting us used to is this next one. AI will also determine not just your mental status, but your age. And you think, well, why do they want you to determine your age? I mean, last time I checked, you know, unless it's one of those days where if I forget, we all know how old we are. No. It's not just that. It's to detect your age, and listen to this, it will also detect your productive longevity. Well, what's productive longevity? Well, that's what AI will tell society about you, not just your age, but what time you have left, whether or not you will be a productive citizen for society. But if it predicts that you're age isn't going to be productive in that you're going to come down with heart disease or Alzheimer's. Hey, that's not productive. You're going to cost the system too much money. And we need to get rid of you. Now, as crazy as that is, once again, they've got that reduced down to an app, right? Watch this.
Deep Longevity has launched a new AI system called Young.AI to track the rate of aging at the molecular, cellular, tissue, organ, system, physiological, and psychological levels. Deep Longevity uses deep aging clocks, which integrate many biomarkers to provide a universal multifactorial measure of human biological age. Deep Longevity says that the Young.AI app and web system will enable everyone interested in learning more about their own aging to get access to some of these aging clocks and start tracking their rate of aging. Accurate biological aging clocks are really important to help us understand how and why we age and how to stop it.
Or stop those that it looks like AI saying, well, give them a couple more years and they're not going to be a productive citizen. Or they're going to come down with such horrible disease it's going to cost the system way too much money and we can't have that, right? Now, again, you say, well, then I'm not going to do an app. I'm not going to download some AI app that's going to monitor not just my age, but how productive I'm going to be in the future, supposedly. Well, they're doing it in a bunch of different ways as well, right? This is the other thing we saw before with the Fitbits and those things of that nature. They're doing the same thing with those to monitor your age productivity, your health productivity, right, and things of that nature. Another one they're doing, I kid you not, folks, is, again, your face. They're using AI, and again, we've given them how many pictures of our face on social media and everywhere else, right? And they will determine by your face with AI your age productivity and whether or not you're going to be a productive citizen given a couple of years or however long, okay? And then they also want to ultimately get everybody to have a microchip implant so that it will be able to detect these same things inside, outside your body at the same time. And if you think I'm getting too conspiracy theory here, okay, that they're going to say, well, you're not going to have a productive health, according to AI, and you're going to cost the system too much money, and then we're going to have to haul you away or refuse treatment to you, and you're going to die. And I quote, predict healthy aging and non-healthy aging. Why? Because we'll use this technology to develop targeted interventions. And you go, well, what's a targeted intervention? That's a fancy way of saying, basically, if AI tells us you're not going to be a productive citizen, then we're going to let you expire. In fact, as we're going to see in a second, that choice might be taken away from you. They will tell you to expire. Now, if this doesn't sound crazy enough, it sounds like a science fiction movie, doesn't it? Well, the reason why it does is because it is. How many of you guys remember the movie Logan's Run? Where this whole utopian society, these elitists had built this utopian society to control the population of the planet. They live in these geodesic domes, and an AI computer system literally created this paradise for all the people. But since at birth, everybody had a microchip in their hand, okay, then when it was your time to die, according to AI, which at their version was in a ripe old age of 30, then you did your patriotic duty and you went to the carousel to get renewed, which is basically you're going to die. Now, for those of you who don't remember that movie, let's take a look at that premise again real quick.
Just imagine a world where you will hold your entire future in the palm of your hand, when a tiny glowing crystal will guide you through an existence in which each day is more wonderful than the last, where it will be possible for you to obtain the fulfillment of every fantasy, the satisfaction of every vanity, the absolute attainment of every wish.
Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer presents the Saul David production of Logan's Run. A fantastic journey through a world beyond imagination. Welcome to the 23rd century. The perfect world of total pleasure. Imagine a world in which you need never be alone. You touch a switch, turn a dial, and the perfect lover steps into your arms. Every pleasure is yours to experience.
Runner!
There's just one catch.
When the tiny crystal in the palm of your hand flashes its final message, your time is up.
Enter the carousel. This is the time of renewal. Be strong, and you will be renewed.
Sicko show is that, right? And it is got to get this microchip and it starts going off and tells you it's your time to die, and then that's bad enough, but then the people in that society were like, die. But don't call it die, just call it renew. Now folks, as crazy as it sounds, I'm telling you, I believe that sick utopian society of Logan's Run is being built by the elites on a global basis, and again, they're using AI, which leads us to the third and final point. It's going to determine your death, just like Logan's Run. It'll say it's your time to die. Now, whether it's because you become a mental threat to society, or because we're just dictating that you're not going to be a productive citizen anymore. You're going to cost the system too much money, and you need to be gotten rid of. And you think, well, that's nuts. How could we create a society that would go along with that kind of murderous behavior? Folks, I'm telling you, we've been prepped for this for decades. Now, first of all, you think about this. I mean, that's murdering people by the millions on a massive scale. I mean, people would riot. They would never go along with this. Really? For how many decades now have we been conditioned to think this is okay with abortion? What is abortion? Abortion is the murder of children, people. And right now, they don't ever put this in the media, but right now, 42 million babies are murdered every year worldwide. Every year, 42 million, not 4,200, not 42,000, 42 million every year. And next year, if it keeps on going, if we're still alive and still here, it's going to happen again and again and again. And we've got conditioned to that. Mass murder is called infanticide. Okay, that's why now the most dangerous place to live is in the womb. Okay, now as sick as that is, again, the Antichrist political party, the biggest murderer this planet has ever seen, he's going to have a political murderous attitude like you can't even believe. And there's going to be people who are going to go along with that party. Well, once again, not to pick on, but we did last week and we're going to do it this week. Guess what the Democrat Party's turned into? I call them the death party. Because they are not only supporting the mass murder of children inside the womb, remember this? They're also promoting the mass murder of children outside the womb. Both Democrats, watch this.
Virginia Delegate Kathy Tran pitched her bill that shocked many Americans earlier this week.
A woman is about to give birth. She has physical signs that she is about to give a birth. Would that still be a point at which she could request an abortion if she was so certified? She's dilating.
Mr. Chairman, that would be a decision that the doctor, the physician, and the woman would make.
I understand
that.
I'm asking if your bill allows that.
My bill would allow that, yes.
Governor Ralph Northam of Virginia is also facing backlash after his support for the bill.
The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mothers.
We found out that our governor is willing basically to embrace the notion that if a child is born alive, you would actually just keep the child comfortable while you discuss how or whether to allow it to die.
Folks, that's sick. But that's what's going on. Think of that murderous mindset. Who's got the mental health problem here? That you would go along with, it's bad enough you're killing 42 million children every year, infanticide, in the womb. Now you want to kill them outside the womb. But it goes even worse than that. Again, it's a political party movement that I think that mindset is preparing for a murderous political person in the seven-year tribulation. Because now it's going even beyond that. Not just murdering children in the womb, outside the womb, they want to murder adults. And we've been conditioned to that. It started with this guy. Remember him? Jack Kevorkian? Doctor of assisted suicide? I hesitate to call him a doctor because doctors are supposed to save lives, not kill them. He murdered 130 people before he himself died in 2011. But we got conditioned to that. Over decades, it takes time to brainwash people to go along with that agenda. But guess who's picked up the bandwagon? The Democrat Party. They don't just want to murder children inside the womb, outside the womb. They want to murder adults. It's called euthanasia. Now, don't call it murder adults because that's too graphic. Don't call it dying. Call it renewal. They call it euthanasia, but that's what it is. It's murdering adults. And again, they're the ones that are pushing this agenda. And it's going global. And it's not even just adults, not just children in the womb, outside the womb, adults, older adults, even teenagers. Belgium right now is killing teenagers, okay? Canada is killing children. And guess what? You don't even have to tell your parents that we're going to kill you. This is the sick, twisted, murderous society. And again, it's on a global basis, and it's being pushed by political parties. Now, where they're saying this is headed is just like the abortion industry that has become a factory for killing babies. They're going to do the same thing for adults. This is from Dr. Richard Nathanson, who got saved. He was an abortion provider. He murdered children. He got saved, and he says, I'm warning you now. This was 15 years ago. They're going to do the same thing to adults. They're going to create an industry out of killing adults. Watch what he says, direct quote. He said it's the next logical step after abortion. In the beginning, there's going to be these refined, dignified, quiet places. Maybe they'll call them thanatoriums. On Logan's Run, it was called the carousel. He says, and it's going to be some fancy word like that. And he says, and that's where you're going to take your loved one to die. They will be very understanding with you, and they will kill your loved one right there. but in a very quiet and dignified way. And I thought, maybe they'll have people cheering on. Yay, you're doing the right thing for society. It's sick. He says, they will spring up, and the next thing you know, they're going to be like factories where they can get rid of adults in just minutes. He said, this is where the abortion clinics have gone, and now with adults, it's going to be a terrible, humanizing, dehumanizing, disgusting industry. And you're thinking, no way, man. There's no way that they're going to have these places to take adults to have them killed. I mean, there's going to have to be an administration in place that who's going to have to make that decision and help you make that decision. And guess what? That's already here too. And this is another thing that's been covered up, folks. We're going to expose it. And that was the death panels that are in right now. You wonder why, and who doesn't want this to go away? Obamacare. Democrat Party. Why do you desperately want to keep that system? Because in that same system, this death party who wants to murder children in and out, adults, teenagers, children, they want to have a panel that whether you say, well, I'm not going to go that. I'm not going to go to some doctor. I'm not going to let you. You may not have the choice. They built in what's called death panels, and those death panels will tell you when it's time to die, just like Logan's Run. It's in Obamacare, folks, still to this day. Watch this.
Here's the problems I have with the Affordable Health Care Act. Number one, there is a provision in there that anyone over the age of 74 has to go before what is effectively a death panel. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. It's in there, folks. You're wrong.
Of course there are death panels in there, but the important thing to remember is that's just one aspect of this atrocious, unaffordable, cumbersome, burdensome, evil policy of Obama's, and that is Obamacare.
And what do you think their motive is for coming onto your side, saying, hey, maybe we should slow down with this law?
Well, it's in black and white in the law that there will be rationing of health care. They couldn't go forever in not acknowledging that, or they would look like complete buffoons, and they would be deemed incompetent, having not read the law to understand that death panels are a part of this atrocity.
President Obama stood before a joint session of Congress and said there is no such thing as a death panel. Is he a liar?
He's not lying in that those two words will not be found in any of those thousands of pages of different variations of the health care bill. No, death panel isn't there. But he's incorrect, and he is disingenuous.
Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel was one of the architects of the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare. He presumes to be interested in preserving life, which is why it seemed outrageous when Sarah Palin accused him of wanting to create death panels. That was him. He was the death panel guy. But it turns out, Palin might have been more right about Ezekiel's intentions than the country gave her credit for. Because Dr. Emanuel just penned an article in The Atlantic entitled, Why I Hope to Die at 75, with the subtitle, An Argument That Society and Families and You Will Be Better Off If Nature Takes Its Course Swiftly and Promptly. In it, Emanuel clearly outlines why he thinks everyone should have the decency to die before turning 76. He accuses Americans of being obsessed with trying to cheat death. He chastises people for exercising, for doing mental puzzles, for sticking to healthful diets, for taking supplements, as if those actions are actually evil. He says all of those death-cheating behaviors are part of a manic cultural type that he calls the American immortal, which he vehemently rejects as misguided and destructive. Destructive as in, if you spend medical and financial resources trying to extend the life of a 76-year-old, you're being destructive to society. Sounds pretty death panelish there.
So it's in the system, folks. They don't want to say that. So, the words aren't there, but the system that creates that is there. And it's still in there. And you wonder why there's a fight to make sure that Trump doesn't get rid of that Obama. It's nuts. And you go, well, that's crazy. I mean, there's got to be some global agenda here. I mean, are they really trying to create a utopian society and control the population and somebody else is going to dictate whether you get to live or die? And I mean, you'd have to have elites involved, billionaires involved to push this through, and not to mention just political parties. And folks, that too has been going on. Now, there's another population control guy around the planet. His name is Bill Gates. Bill and Melinda Gates, his wife, have created a foundation, and they're going around the planet supporting birth control, even electronically with a microchip. Remember that one? They're also big on vaccines, including the current vaccine, and want to make it a global mandate. And they're being sued by a multitude of countries. You know why? Because their so-called vaccines are killing more people than saving them. You won't hear this in the news. But that's pretty sick. But wait till you see, Bill Gates admits there are death panels, and you're not supposed to talk about that. And wait till you see who his dad worked for. And it'll explain why Bill Gates is a population control guy. Watch this.
The access that used to be available to the middle class or whatever is just rapidly going away. That's a trade-off society is making because of very, very high medical costs and a lack of willingness to say, you know, is spending $1 million on that last 3 months of life for that patient, would it be better not to lay off those 10 teachers and to make that trade-off in medical costs? But that's called the death panel, and you're not supposed to have that discussion.
But did you come to reproductive issues as an intellectual?
When I was growing up, my parents were always involved in various volunteer things. My dad was head of Planned Parenthood.
Oh, it's like father, like son. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Why is it that Bill Gates going around the world trying to dictate the population of the planet? Because that's who his dad worked for, Planned Parenthood, which is all about population control. It's nuts. So this is really going on. And you think, well, okay, that's kind of crazy, but how are they going to pull this off? Well, guess who they're looking at to tie this whole system I just described together? AI. AI will be the one to determine how long you get to live. Because again, this is on a micromanaged global scale. No amount of humans you could hire could pull this off. But AI can. And let me demonstrate that to you right now. Quote, Google's medical brain thinks it can predict when you will die. Well, I hope it gets it right. And then watch this one. Google uses AI to predict when you will die, and it's 95% accurate. Well, that's close enough, right? Oh, and then talk about having no clue. Watch this. AI can predict if you'll die soon, but, quote, we have no idea how it works. Well, that's reassuring. But I'm not going to get tied into your system. I'm not going to go on. You may not have a choice. Because they're using the current crisis. Oh, what do they say? You can't let a good crisis, including COVID, go to waste. But what are they calling for? Here you go. Tony Blair calls for a new digital ID so that people can prove their coroner's disease status along with testing and tracing programs in the world. And there's a couple different ways that they're wanting to do that. Some are saying they could do that with the vaccine, that it will automatically be able to trace you. Okay, number one. Some are saying that they might even do some sort of an implant. Okay, nothing but which could be in the vaccine is another option. So you're going to get it at the same time. Some are saying, no, that's going to be a little bit too freaky. They need to move slower. So what they'll do is they'll take a microchip passport that you have in order to enter facilities and travel and things of that nature. But then eventually you could lose that passport. Let's make it more secure and just get an implant. And this is all the stuff they're saying. But that implant will tie you into what? A global health system now that everybody around the world has to be tied into for the health of humanity, using this crisis as an excuse to create that society. Isn't that nuts? It's crazy, folks. Okay. Now, again, as we close, go back to Logan's Run. How did they micromanage the populace? At birth, they all what? Got a microchip implant in their hand. And that microchip gave them all kinds of neat abilities in that utopian society. But that microchip also was tracking them and their health. And so at the ripe age, it told them when it's your time to die. I've said this before. The elites will tell you what they're up to if you're looking. But you got to be looking. Right? It's just, and then when people see it, they don't put the big picture together and realize what they're really talking about. But this was way back in the day of all people admitting that they're going to microchip you at birth, and that's the society that these elites are creating, was Roger Ebert. Remember him? Yeah. Way back then, he says, this is what we're headed for. Watch this.
Right now, my mind is telling my body to talk, and it's supplying my mouth with the words that I'm giving to you, and the mind could also learn to say to the chip, go to a certain web page, download some information, and supply it to the inside of my eyeballs.
You believe that you can you're going to be actually able to tell your mind through a chip to provide you with information that you can then speak. So on this program, this would be great for me. You put a little chip in there, and if I didn't know something, I could say to the chip, would I have to say it out loud or just think it?
Either way.
I could just think it. Give me an answer.
Right now, we're loaded up with bionic stuff already. I'm wearing glasses. I have fillings in my teeth. This is a wristwatch. I'm wearing clothing, which allows me to adjust to the climate as I go outside. So it's obviously only a matter of time until convergence allows us to match the number one tool of the next century, and that would be the computer chip.
I mean, okay, so the computer chip,
glasses are tools.
Sure, but all of these are external. The computer should be in you, and that's what frightens me.
Well, could be in you, or it could be wherever you wanted it to be. And it would allow you to make telephone calls without having a cell phone, allow you to surf the web without having to monitor.
Well, show me how. So if I had a chip embedded in my head, I could make a telephone call by
you could just start talking.
Call mom?
Yeah.
And mom would be, and I could talk to her?
And then you would just say, hello, mom.
I wouldn't have a phone or anything.
No. And so you'd have to have some body language so people would know what you were doing. Let's say you're standing at the American Airlines terminal.
Yeah.
And you're calling the Advantage desk and saying, I've missed my flight. Do you have any seats at 10 o'clock?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you're standing there saying that, somebody's going to look at you like you're one of these crazy.
But not if everybody had the chip. They'd all know what was going on.
Well, but you would do this.
Right. You go there with a little
this
phone.
This means I'm not just talking to myself, I'm talking on the phone.
This and then sounds
if you're reading the web on the inside of your eyeballs,
yeah,
it would look rude to people. It would look like I'm staring straight through you. But I'm not staring straight through you. I'm looking at the Fox News web page, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how do I want people to know that? I would just go like this.
You know, so you're going to have a whole sign language thing. Like this sounds so unbelievable.
If I'm downloading information...
But it's true. It could happen.
Things are converging so quickly, and computers are already such an amazing tool.
But we've checked it out a little further than your article, and the scientists tell us that it is absolutely true and absolutely possible for a human being to have a chip embedded in their system and to have many, many things appear in their mind upon command. So you would say, I need to know the name of the 18th president. Bing!
Not only that, I meet you and I call up your credit report while we're talking. And eventually the time will come when a child is implanted with a little chip back here and will learn to control the chip in the same way that you learn to control your bodily functions and your voice and your movements.
Of all entities, these people tell you folks what they're going to do. It just, most people think it's entertainment, or they just downplay it, or just turn the channel. That was kind of freaky. Move on. They tell you. If you're looking, if you're listening, just like Logan's Run, the elitists admit that there's going to come a time when they're going to pitch, you get chipped at birth. And notice what he said. It isn't just going to create this utopian society where I can talk without the phone. I can surf the web through my eyeballs. I can do all, and it's all legit technology. And how many people do you know of younger generations that would sign up for that lickety-split? Right? But it says there, he mentioned, it's not just, it's going to monitor everything about you, including your health, your location, your finances. You know, like a Mark of the Beast system or something like that. In fact, as we close, one more thing. I think with this same system that what they're also doing, remember, we're dealing with the biggest political murderer this planet has ever seen and will ever see. And his religious cohort, the Antichrist and false prophet. We'll not only use this technology to say you're a mental threat, we're going to take you out. You're not productive anymore, we're going to take you out. We're going to dictate when it's time for you to die. You're not going to have that choice anymore. But I think he's also built into the same microchip system that if you don't do what he says to do, like Revelation 13 says, if you don't worship the Antichrist, it says you will be killed on the spot. But again, that's a global context. How is he going to take people out anywhere in the world on the spot if they just let you say no? The same system, they're building that ability. Watch this.
All right, this next story may sound like something out of, a Hollywood thriller. A Saudi inventor has created a killer microchip. It's designed to track terrorists and criminals and,
Well, you can think of somebody. Not only does it include a GPS device, it also has a lethal dose of cyanide, which can be activated at any time.
Anywhere around the world. If you get deemed a terrorist, by who and who gets to define that? And can I tell you something? Anybody who doesn't worship the Antichrist, you're going to be svadsod. You're going to be butchered. You're going to be killed on the spot. How? Well, maybe that's going to be one of the ways. Hit a button, and anybody that said no, bang, we're going to kill you. It's gross. It's sickening. It's murderous. But that's just like Satan. And that's who the Antichrist and the false prophet are going to be inspired by. So is it any surprise? The good news for you and I is we ain't going to be there. Praise God. The Bible says when these things begin to take place, when you could see how this is going to be pulled off in the seven-year tribulation, it's a heads-up call for you and I. You better get motivated. Not out of fear, but out of faithfulness and thankfulness. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not going to the seven-year tribulation, let alone hell itself. But because I love you, I want to tell as many people to escape that murderous time frame. And we need to get out there and be sharing the gospel. I mean, that's our response. Not fear, but faithfulness. Okay? And hopefully that's your response. Okay? And it should be as a born-again Christian. But if you're not a born-again Christian, what in the world are you waiting for? How many more creepy scenarios, how many more science fiction movies that are about to become a reality does God got to do to shake you up and say, hey, I love you. I sent my son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you. I'm willing to forgive you of everything you've ever done, ever wrong, every sin, past, present, future, even the things that you don't even know about. I don't want you to go there. And all you got to do is say, yes, Jesus, would you please forgive me? And the Bible says you will be saved. Why would you hesitate? Why flirt with that? Why? Turn to Jesus today before it's too late. Amen? Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death. In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with Him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows He's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying, okay? How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand, okay? Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. And for being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy, even His name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's His standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer.
And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. There's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it. And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what He was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon, so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth He is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.